Now, How to Fall Apart is the new book by Leah Dawn Hines, and Leah Dawn joins us in studio. Afternoon, Leah Dawn.
Afternoon, Ray. Thank you for
having
me.
Great to have you in studio.
Yes, it's lovely to be here. So nice to be out and about and seeing new people.
Yes, yeah. And I'd say our listeners will appreciate the fact that there's somebody in studio because it sort of signals a return to some sort of normality.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
because we can all welcome, I think.
Yes, yes, because we would have had somebody in studio every day.
Yeah, I can imagine for you it must have been really weird.
It was strange.
You'd be used to seeing a lot of people.
Yes, yeah, yes, yeah. Making eye contact. Now, you're still a bit far away from my liking.
I know.
Because we have to talk about something that's very intimate to you.
Yeah.
As in the breakdown of your marriage.
That's right.
So it is difficult. But anyway, we'll see what we can do. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
How to Fall Apart. Because it is a very personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very public thing, isn't it? There's no getting away from the fact that you have to tell everybody. You can't do it secretly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
and then you go one step further. Not only do you have to tell everybody, but you write a book about it.
That's the obvious next move.
Yeah, so go on.
Yeah, I suppose I wrote a column for a few years that the book was inspired by. So I'm probably a little bit inured to, you know, it being out there. I've been a journalist for almost 20 years. So I'm really comfortable with what my boundaries are, I suppose, of what I put out there. And I interview people all the time about really personal stuff. So I'm very cognizant of the burden of care that comes with this kind of thing. And I was able to turn that on myself, you know. And I think it's important when you're doing something like that to have one or two people who you really trust. My mum, my best friend is a writer as well, and my editor. So that really helped. But I also think that what I'm writing about, it's a breakup. A lot of the book is about grief and the things that you go through when you experience a loss. Yes, it's really personal. But it's also stuff that everyone who has been through a breakup, and I know this from the messages I'm getting, they are things they all experience. So in a way, I feel like, you know, it's quite universal. So I have my boundaries of I know exactly what I'm comfortable with.
And what were those boundaries?
I didn't really discuss, as you know, it's much more it's the aftermath of the breakup. I didn't go into any reasons why the marriage ended.
I noticed that.
There were definitely a few bits as I was going through writing the book, bits around my daughter and I would always know it would niggle at my head and I'd go back and I would maybe say it to my mum and see what she thought, you know.
Being aware that your daughter, although she's six now, will at some stage be old enough to read it, yes.
More of how much I share of her.
Okay.
And some things that, I mean, you know, when you've children, some of the things they say are just so charming, but I would think, no, that's too much. That's private. So I was very conscious of writing when I was writing about her, how much I put in.
Yeah. What you do share with the reader is that, you know, it was a love story. That this was the man you met around 26 and you could picture yourself retiring together, helping each other up the stairs or down the stairs or whatever.
I mean, when it was ending, I got really sad one day that we were never going to garden together when we retired, which is completely ludicrous because neither of us have any experience or knowledge about gardening. So yeah, the kind of loss of the imagined future, some of it completely delusional, is definitely something that you go through when your marriage ends.
Yeah. And you did try your damnedest, both of you, to make it work.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, very often it's a decision that nobody makes lightly. And particularly when there's a child involved, I found it just so strange that it felt like it wasn't, and it was a mutual situation, but it felt like it wasn't our decision in a way, because what you're deciding is affecting the course of another's life so drastically. And I found that really hard. And you can find yourself saying things like, you know, we'll stay until she's 18. That if a friend said to you, you would say, listen to yourself, you know.
Well, people do. People do.
I have to say, when I hear people saying, oh, they should have ended it, I really feel like you can't judge people in that situation. Yeah. It's incredibly hard to end a marriage because, you know, in a way, a breakup is quite a kind of workaday loss in that we'll probably all experience one. But if you're a breakup, more than any other loss, it changes everything about your life. You know, from where you sleep in your bed to what your house sounds like, because there's not another. So facing into that and knowing that that's what you're instigating, that, you know, even if you both know it's the right thing, is quite terrifying.
And then, of course, the life that your daughter's going to have.
That's it. And I think that's the hardest part. And, you know, my mum was really good in that, like, you know, my mum was very kind of reassuring that my daughter would be okay, and my mum's a terrible liar, so I knew she was telling the truth, you know, and that was really reassuring because I think, as you know, as any parent will know, you can rationalize yourself and you can say, I know I'll be okay, this will be really hard. But we're very vulnerable around our children, and it's much harder to be kind of logical.
But you didn't know you were going to be okay initially, did you?
I knew it was going to be really hard, right? But I'm really well supported, and I think I knew I could cope. I definitely knew I could cope. You know, I knew it was going to be incredibly difficult. But I think, you know, you can get to the point in your life where if you're having to instigate a great change, sometimes that comes because you know that staying would be harder. Yeah. And that can kind of help you, you know?
People who are listening who might think that their relationship, marriage, whatever is ending.
Yeah.
What were the signs? Or I know every relationship is different, but what were the signs for you?
I think when you...
It wasn't a big thing. It wasn't a big event.
No, but I think when you realise that the, you know, the person you're married to is usually like, they're like your, the person you experience life with, you know, and they get the inside joke and they are the person that you want to tell things to when something happens and all of that. And maybe when you realise that, you know, they're no longer that person.
Right.
And you maybe can look back on how your relationship was. And sometimes these things happen very gradually, you know, but you might look back in the past and realise how far you've come from that. But I mean, to anyone who's in that situation, I would say that is the hardest part when you're just coming to the realisation. And it's terrifying, but it definitely does get easier, you know, because even when you face it, at least then you're kind of taking control of the situation. And I think if you're admitting that it's over, in some way you're saying to yourselves, by admitting that that's the case, you're kind of telling yourself, we can handle this, we can deal with this, because that's a possibility then that this is over, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and you talked about it's a grieving process, and you quote from some movie, is it Alan Alda?
He says he says divorce is a death without a body.
Yeah.
And absolutely, and that's, again, back to your question about it's a very personal book, but you know, I interview people all the time who are grieving, and there are universal things that we will all go through. And that's where I feel like, you know, writing about this kind of thing, I'm not writing anything in a way that people are going to go, what? You know, it's grief, and everyone who grieves experiences.
So it's a memoir, but yet I would imagine if somebody's going through it, it's a self-help book, although it
didn't intend that, but it has been described as that, you're right.
So it doesn't lay out chapters as this is what you do next, but I suppose knowing, and you say it yourself, that other people have been through this and come out the other side.
Yeah.
You say it constantly that gives you
massive help. And I think I was very lucky in that as a journalist. As you know, you meet so many people all the time. So when it ended, I had a lot of people who I knew, you know, not too well, but well enough to say, you know, will you go for a coffee with me? My friend Ruth Griffin, who I just knew through work, met me. And to see someone who has been through it already, but is further down the line, they can reassure you more than anyone else. Like your mum or your best friend can say it'll be okay, but if you see someone who's, you know, a few years into this situation and they're flourishing and their child is okay, that more than anything can say to you, this is going to be okay.
And it sounds, reading between the lines of the book, that time becomes your enemy in a way, because, you know, facing into a weekend where it's just you and your daughter and filling the days.
Yeah. I think at the start, you know, the weeks are fairly full on, and then you get to the weekend and you're just not ready for empty hours. You know, I still remember the first time that we had like a lazy Saturday breakfast ourselves. And before that, I would have felt anxious about, you know, leaving expanses of time that weren't planned, because at the start, it's all about what you're not. You're not no longer the family unit. And you're not ready to take on the new stuff. And so anything, any kind of empty time just really brings that back to you.
Right. And you talk about the woo-woo club. So you've encountered all sorts of therapies and yogas and massages, and partly through your work, but partly to write yourself.
That's it. So, yeah, partly, like I say, I mean, I interview amazing women all the time, and a few of them I kind of thought, OK, you're fantastic. I want you to, you know, I'm going to attach myself to you.
Is it fixer? But you're not
help,
broken,
support.
You see.
No, I think support, I would describe it as. But the first thing that I found incredibly helpful was doing a meditation course, which was not related to work. My mum has always meditated and always said to me, you know, oh, you should try this. And you know the way sometimes when your mother says something to you, you out of sheer stubbornness and no logic do the opposite. But after, when you go through a divorce, the stress levels are unreal. And I don't think you're able necessarily to take them down yourself. You need something else to do it for you. So we had a lovely weekend in London. We went over and visited my best friend and I went and did a meditation course and it was amazing. Instantly, I felt like they had put a lagging jacket around me. And so there was something between me and the stress. It was incredible, the difference that that made.
You're very lucky, and I know not
you know, no, I am. You're
lucky in that, you went to counselling before the marriage broke up and then you were able to continue that. Have you thought about people in a similar situation who couldn't afford, you know, all of that, what their lives must be like.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I found the counselling invaluable. And obviously, you know, the more services that can be made, should be made available to people, you know, the better. Because I found the counselling was the thing above anything else, that really, just to have a kind of a safe space with someone who is a professional, who is kind of guiding you through it. Was invaluable.
We've all gone through breakups of various levels, and the one thing that I found from my life and talking to other people is that it doesn't matter how amicable the breakup is, that at some point there's a flashpoint, that there's anger. And you mention anger in the book, that it's unavoidable.
Yeah, and I thought, well, anger is beside the point. It's not useful here to me. I want to get on with my life. And I think sometimes for women, we're not really taught how to be angry. You know, we don't have a lot of the difficult emotions, people in general are not taught how to express them. And so I spend a lot of time saying, no, I'm not angry. And but of course I was angry. I was angry at the loss of the life that I had wanted and the life I wanted from my daughter. I wasn't angry with, you know, I was angry in general. And I think it took me a while to kind of realize that. But one of the most helpful things anyone has ever said to me was a counselor said, anger can be very scary, but it's like music. It will crescendo and you think, oh God, I can't handle this. And often we'll push it down and avoid it, but it will disappear. But you have to kind of sit with, and that really helped kind of get through it. And I think sometimes at the start, anger can be a bit of a fuel, you know, it can kind of, maybe you need to feel angry at times to kind of keep you going. And then you're not ready to feel some of the sadness that is still there, because later in the book, you know, I kind of, the anger dissipates and all of a sudden I'm just really sad again.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes anger is kind of helpful in that way. It can kind of keep you going.
There's your da and your brother, but all the other characters in the book in your life are women.
That is probably a fair point.
And like you were, you say part in the book that a man isn't going to fix this for me, you know? So you were determined not to go from one relationship into another.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where are you at now with that?
I mean, of course, I totally understand. It's different for everyone. And some people are interested in going into another relationship straight away. But for me, it just felt like the opposite of what I wanted to do. And now I feel like, you know, I have a very young daughter. She's nearly six. I have a really fabulous but very intense career. And if I'm going to take time off from those things, I want to be absolutely 100% sure that I'm going to enjoy it. So it's, you know, family or friends or possibly sitting in my own in a quiet room when, you know, 6-year-olds are full on.
Meditating.
Yeah, well, yeah. Staring at the wall, exhausted.
And do you miss that?
Miss a relationship?
Yeah.
No. And I would say that again, like to anyone at the start, you know, it can feel like it can feel so weird. You're living on your own. There's no other adult. Now I go to my parents' house and I can hear myself thinking, God, they're very loud here because it's four adults. And I really love my own space and I love my own company and I love my friends. So no, not for me at all at the moment.
Is that you just rationalizing it or is that?
No, I mean, maybe when I'm older, but I'm older, like I'm in my 40s. But I think at the moment with a small child, to be honest, it would feel a bit strange to me. And again, everyone each their own. But I don't want to take time off from work, daughter or friends for anything else.
To facilitate somebody else. Yeah. And which is lovely in the book, like your daughter saved you. And because when people talk about marriage breakups, when kids are involved, you know, it focuses in on what negative effect will it have on the children. What people don't talk about, which you do talk about in the book, is, you know, your lovely relationship together.
And
how she got you through and how you got her through.
Yes. I mean, I hasten to add, not in any kind of people think we're best friends, sisters way, where, you know, she got me through just by the sheer fact of, I'm sure everyone says this about their child, but she is a very joyful, fun, you know, just full of beans child. And being around that and living with that is so uplifting. And yeah, I think we were lucky, Ray, like she was young when this happened and we didn't have to watch, you know, with older children. That's much, I'm very aware of, that's much harder for people to have this, to see a child who's much more cognizant of the disruption.
What's going
on?
So
we were
lucky,
you know, we were really like spared that.
I remember asking somebody, I don't know why I asked this question years ago, it was probably in an interview, is there a good time for you know, people to break up when it comes to the age of children.
Yeah.
And there's never a good time. But I think what you've said there is that before they become aware of what's going on.
There's a stage in their life where they're still young enough that you could kind of say to them, you know, half the world is covered in blue sea and they'd go, or purple sea, sorry. And they'd go, oh, yeah, OK. And if you're, you know, if it happens when they're young enough that their worldview isn't formed.
Yes.
It's much easier to make this. Yeah, okay.
How to Fall Apart is Leah Dunn's book, L-I-A-D-A-F-O-D-A-N, Hynes, H-Y-N-E-S. I'm pretty sure Leah Dunn is a friend I made on holiday when I was in France 33 years ago. We both were around 10. If it's her, it's lovely to hear this interview, especially where I am in my life. Now, there you go.
Wow.
That could be something there. That's all
that
says.
Can you tell me the name afterwards?
Well, there's GDPR issues, but we'll see what we can do.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
Yeah. I remember when my long-term partner and I needed help on breaking up, our counsellor helped us hugely with the concept of letting go of our promise to one another. This was of great help to us both, Philip, in Dublin. And then you say as well, it's renegotiating the relationship with your ex-husband, because you've had this intimacy and this,
it's so hard,
all access, if you like, and then you have to shut that off.
Yeah. And I mean, married couples don't have boundaries, you know, so you've got to kind of relearn how to be. And I did, there's a chapter in the book about co-parenting and it started as an A to Z. And I think I got to like E and thought, what on earth am I doing? Nobody can, as with any kind of parenting, I don't think books and things, you know,
can tell you what to do.
Yeah. You figure it out as you go along. And again, as with any kind of parenting, I think every 6 months or so, it changes. So being open to kind of this isn't set in stone is probably quite helpful.
Yeah. Well done again on the book, How to Fall Apart. Thanks so much for coming into our studio.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Now get out. We have to sanitise. Not
charming.
Thanks, Leon. Thank you very much. See you. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.